I think that the other thing that we need to look at is not just the toxics that's coming leaching from the containers into the water. And I do need to mention one other, and that is the 5-gallon drums that you see in offices, and sometimes people get them in their homes. That is number 7 plastic polycarbonate, and that plastic does leach bisphenol A, which is a hormone disruptor, and I know Sandra can say a lot more about that from a scientific point of view, but it's important to be aware of that. The kind of plastic that's used in the little bottles doesn't leach bisphenol A, but as I've mentioned, there's other problems there. But we have to look not just at the bottles, but also the whole plastics life cycle. So you think about the manufacturing of plastic. In 2002, it was about 1.5 million tons of plastic that was produced for water bottles. The sales of water has gone up so much, I'm sure it's closer to 2 million tons now. If you think about Cancer Alley, think about the manufacturing of the plastic for the feedstock for these bottles, and think about who it is that's living near these petrochemical plants. And then in terms of the landfill, there's further leaching from the plastic bottles in the landfills. The other thing to keep in mind, Sandra was talking about the, I would say, the global warming impacts of transporting all of this water. Also, think about trucks stuck in a traffic jam and heating up. Think about bottled water in storage facilities. When the plastic gets warmer, the leaching increases. So you have no idea where this water in the bottles has been sitting between the moment it came out of a spring and when you put it in your mouth.
Let me just make a small correction to an otherwise eloquent statement, Ruth, that what the plasticizer used in polycarbonate is a chemical called bisphenol A. If listeners want to Google that or research more about it, it's spelled B-I-S-P-H-E-N-O-L, and then capital A. And it is a hot topic right now in the field of environmental health because that plasticizer shows signs of a couple of different things we're really paying attention to. One is that it has the capacity to induce precancerous lesions in the breast in rats when it's exposed prenatally. So that means a plasticizer from polycarbonate bottles, when an embryonic rat is exposed, a female rat, the mammary tissue, the breast tissue, actually develops differently and in such a way that that rat is predisposed to breast cancer as an adult. So this is one of, bisphenol A is one of the case studies in a new trend in toxicology now, which is recognizing that the timing of exposure is as important as the dose. So a very tiny exposure very early on can actually alter the development of an organ, in this case the breast, so it becomes in its architecture more susceptible to cancer than it otherwise would be as an adult. And we also know that another trend we're following right now is that fetal bisphenol A exposure alters the development of the male reproductive tract. And here we have evidence not only from laboratory animals, but also human evidence showing that boys, males who are exposed prenatally to bisphenol A have alterations in the development of their reproductive tracts.
So it's affecting everybody, young, old, and Now, water comes in different kinds of plastic. Is there a difference?
There are. The way these plastics are manufactured, there are differences. I'm sure Ruth can speak to some of that. I'll just mention three kinds of plastic. Water bottles are most commonly called PET, P-E-T, which stands for polyethylene terephthalate. And that is the... those are the bottles that Ruth referred to where we have some new evidence of antimony leaking. Antimony is a metal. It has a kind of rightful place in the periodic chart of elements. It's right below arsenic and right next to tin. It's number 51 on the periodic chart. We don't know much about the toxicology of antimony. In some respects, it acts like arsenic, but it comes in many forms, and depending on what form it takes, It's more or less toxic. We don't know exactly how it affects DNA repair or how great of a mutagen it is. That antimony is one of the least understood of the metals in terms of its toxicology. And that's, but we're worried about it because that's the, of this new study that came out of Germany this year showing ongoing contamination from PET water bottles with antimony. Whereas polycarbonate, that's where we worry about the bisphenol A. And then, of course, there's polyvinyl chloride, and that's where we worry about another group of chemicals called phthalates that are used as the plasticizers there.
And longtime listeners to Ecologic may recognize some of these words because it keeps popping up in the news segments where people are doing more studies and finding more dangers of these substances. And they're so ubiquitous in the environment. I mean, it just seems to be everywhere.
You know, Ken, one of the things that is particularly egregious, if you go to the grocery store now, you will see bottled water is very specifically being marketed to children. It's put into something that looks like a school bus or various things to appeal to children. So just when Sandra is saying about the differences in the timing of exposure, here you have children and it's being marketed directly to them to put in their lunch boxes, et cetera. And I think that also brings up another issue that we should talk about, and that is the whole idea that there is a fundamental human right to water. And when you take water out of your tap, yes, you're paying something for it, but it's the cost of getting the water treated, the sewage treated, and getting the water to your tap. When you drink water in a bottle, the cost is determined by the marketplace. The water is commodified, and the price is set by the market. And so if you start
now, why is that bad?
If you start going down that road, remember, first of all, we've said that when I looked in Boston, the bottled water, the Coke and Dasani and Aquafina Pepsi water was 1,200 times the cost of municipal water. So as people begin to buy the industry line, the corporate line, that somehow bottled water is more healthy, which you understand we don't agree with for a moment, why there will be less public pressure to have good municipal systems because people think, oh, I'll just get my water in bottles. So who's left drinking the municipal water? People who can't afford the bottled water as the price goes up and up. So it's really an issue of fundamental environmental justice, and I think about the pressure that even young children are under, you know, in terms of the clothes they wear, the sneakers they wear. Now they'll be under pressure that somehow they should be drinking this, you know, cool bottled water, and heaven forbid that they should drink any kind of water out of a water fountain.
Well, I mean, soda also comes in plastic bottles. So, you know, we're not saying, you know, they should have something else that's in plastic, but rather something that's not in plastic at all.
Absolutely. There's a study that was done by the Berkeley Ecology Center, and this was on the PET. So that's the small plastic bottles that we see everywhere. And they found that the production of the plastic emitted 100 times more toxicity than the equivalent amount of glass. So you have, you know, the beginning of the cycle, the glass does not leach toxics into the water, and it doesn't, it can be much more economically crushed. It's not the same kind of a problem in a landfill. For transportation, it is definitely heavier. I've actually talked to some small bottled water companies about why they don't, for the big office jugs, use glass. And the transportation cost is one thing, but interestingly, another thing they told me is the insurance companies don't want them to use glass. So I think that as we're looking at how to begin to change this, that's an interesting place that we have to be talking to the insurance companies as well.
Well, I think I think this is right. I mean, in some problems, really do require conversation. You know, it's not always clear how to move to something safer. For example, baby's bottles, which some of which are made out of polycarbonate. One of my kids, both of my kids were breastfed for all kinds of really important biological reasons, but one of my kids would drink Express breast milk out of a bottle and the other one wouldn't. The one who did, I chose glass bottles precisely because of all this research. On the other hand, a glass bottle is quite heavy, and especially the 8-ounce ones. And for, you know, a 12-month-old to hold, and if they fling it to the floor, a glass, 8-ounce glass baby bottle is quite a dangerous thing. I mean, it can really shatter. And so there are real safety concerns. Happily, I think some of these, some of human ingenuity has been put to work thinking about how to replace the plastic water bottle with something that doesn't leach and that is lightweight. And there are now lightweight stainless steel water bottles. I have one. Mine happens to be called the Clean Canteen. I think there are probably other brands as well. Clean is spelled with a K, so is Canteen, if anyone wants to look that up. But this is what my two kids take to school now. So I put plain old tap water in the shiny bottles, and they have a kind of coolness quotient about them because they're, you know, they're shiny and kind of sleekly designed, and so they can kind of compete with the kids who've got the juice bottles and the bottled waters and the this and that.
And bicyclists use it. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen.
That's right. Athletes need to carry water, and this is a lightweight alternative. So I'm sure, you know, there's not a single answer here. In some cases, replacement with glass makes sense. I think we really need to think hard about baby bottles. If we could get all kids on the breast, that would completely solve the problem of putting mother's milk in containers, because the breast is the perfect container anyway. But there are times that, you know, bottles are important in the lives of mothers. And, you know, we can solve the problem with athletes, I think, to the use of stainless steel. Glass may play a role again in office coolers and things like that. But probably the solution here is going to be multiple. You know, there's not going to be one right answer. And, you know, it's important to realize that how to carry water safely has been this age-old human problem. I mean, the Romans struggled with it and may have gotten lead poisoning because of their decisions as to what kind of vessels made sense in their aqueducts and in their vessels that they held water in. So this isn't an age-old problem, but surely it's one that human ingenuity can help us solve.